Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the founder and CEO of Church Answers.
It's amazing. Here we are at episode 525, is that right?
That's right.
And I don't recall us ever doing anything specifically on church splits.
No.
I know we've talked about them, but we've never done anything specifically on
You have a blog post, and that's it.
Yep. So we're going to expand upon that post. We're going to talk about it a little bit more, and we're going to say, consider these issues. Can we prevent a church split by talking about these? Maybe, maybe not. But I do think these are some things you need to know if your church is on the verge of dividing, if your church has divided, or if you're thinking about pulling out a portion of people from your church.
Have you ever been in a church that split?
No.
Okay.
No.
I think I was in one early on. Church split is kind of a hard way to define it, because it didn't really like split, just a bunch of people left because it was a big thing. So it wasn't like a, well, we're taking so-and-so and we're all going over here. It wasn't like that. So,
yeah. Well, I've certainly been in part of fragmentations where a few went here, a few there, but not a classic church split.
Okay.
So, nope, never been a member of one and never been a pastor of one. So I've been blessed in that way. Always thank you to Midwestern Seminary for being our sponsor of Rainer on Leadership.
Yep, today's episode is sponsored by Midwestern Seminary, and they offer more than 25 degrees at both the undergraduate and master's level that are all fully attainable online. From business to Bible, counseling to Christian education, you can prepare for your future at your own pace and in your own location. Learn more about this at mbts.edu/online.
As we begin to talk about splits, it's really, Rainer on Leadership is mostly about practical ministry helps.
Mm-hmm.
This is more about reflections.
And
it's more of what is really happening or what are the consequences of church splits. I don't think you're going to walk away from this episode and say, I've got all these practical tools to help me understand church splits a little bit better and I can prevent them. Maybe so. But I think we'll just go through this process and we'll be talking about some of these issues that take place in church splits.
Do we see church splits often anymore?
I think we see more fragmentation than church splits. I know that I've been talking with a pastor. In fact, you would even, if I referred you to it offline, you may need me to remind you. It is a church that we've talked about in different ways here. And it is really pretty much a classic church split, but not too many.
Okay.
No.
All right. I'm just wondering, I'm just trying to think of when the last time I saw a legitimate church split where, you know, somebody got mad and took a bunch of people and moved down the road and started, you know, New Harmony Baptist Church after they left Harmony Baptist Church or something like that.
I always love those new ones.
Yeah. New Hope Baptist Church.
New Unity.
You know what? I think I did hear one recently. I'll ask you about it afterwards.
Okay.
All right. Number one, a church that has split is likely to die.
Yeah. I don't have anything but anecdotal information here. But I can tell you that there are very few circumstances. By the way, I've never been in a church that split, but I've been a part of a church that maybe a couple of pastors later split.
Oh, okay.
And the split-off church died, and the mother church is about to die.
Oh. Well, it's not a healthy thing.
No.
You're ripping
apart unity.
Yeah.
So the issue is, it's not just numerical. It's not that you take a church of 100 and you have two churches of 50, because there are a lot of churches of 50 that are surviving and thriving. So it's not just that. It's you're taking culture and you're making two negative cultures. So you have the church that is hurt. You have the church that is hurting. You have those two churches, and those become... The whole life of the church, the culture of it, is absorbed around the split.
Mm.
That's the issue. When you talk about this church in the community, it's the split. When you come to church, you have in the back of your mind this to mix the metaphor, this cloud over you, and it's all about the split. So a church that splits is likely to die.
Well, you kind of touched on this next one just a second ago. The negative community impact of a church split is great and enduring. Everybody in the community kind of, well, that's the church, and that's the church that used to be part of that church.
Yeah, and going back to the grocery store example.
Oh,
my pastor friend.
Yes.
You're the pastor of that church? Oh, God bless you. I hate that for you.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact words, but it was something like that.
It was like, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry you're the pastor of that church. What do you know about the church? It's bad. It's really bad. Look, people in the community are hoping the churches will be an example of God's unity and love and compassion, and they see a church fight and split, and all of a sudden the community says, there's enough negativity on cable news, on talk shows, and everything else. I'm not going to go to a church that's fighting and one that is split.
Not quite a good witness to the community.
Yes, exactly.
So, but what if you... Because I know we have pastors that come into churches after church splits.
Mm-hmm.
How do you kind of combat that negative community
Some churches have had attempted, some pastors have attempted to have services of reconciliation, not to bring the two churches together, but to forgive one another.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I cannot answer how effective that it has been, but they've seen it as a necessity because there's just such a heaviness. I know one church that the pastor came in later, and he felt like the church that he was now pastor was the primary instigator of the split, and he wanted to have a time of repentance. Well, church didn't like it, and ain't no way we repenting, dude. And so he got pushed out of the church.
Wow.
For trying to push the church in that direction. But again, it goes back to number one. You've put this, there's this cancer in the church, and there might be radiation or chemotherapy, but that most of the time the cancer just keeps on eating the church away.
Mm. Number three, the majority of church splits focus on the pastor.
Here, different ways. One may be the pastor is actually leading a split. This church is doctrinal issues, we need to leave. This church is stuck in the mud, we need to go create our own church. However, the more common split related to a church pastor is when the pastor's fired.
Yeah, well, he does something, or maybe it's trumped up charges.
Yeah, whatever.
But sometimes it's, he did something really bad.
Yeah.
But he's charismatic and people want to follow him and give him a second chance.
Or they don't want to follow him, but they want to start their own church, even if he's not the pastor, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't,
people pushed out so-and-so.
Yeah, exactly.
So
a lot of church splits, the topic is the pastor.
All right, number four, church splits typically originate from power groups in the church. No surprise here.
You know, Jonathan, I have been surprised how many people have talked to us through the blog, through the podcast, that bringing up this issue of power groups has been an act of catharsis within the church.
Mm-hmm.
It is like nobody wants to talk about this deacon.
I've never seen anybody else talk about it.
But it's pervasive.
Oh, it's in every church.
Yes.
Every church. Even healthy churches have power groups.
And again, sometimes you just have to bring these issues to light in order to be able to do things about it. Well, many church splits originate with just a few people within the church, whether they're forcing the pastor out, whether they have their own agenda and they want to move forward. I can think of a church split here in Nashville. Happened a couple of years before I came here, so about 15 years ago. It's in the area where we are right now. There was a power group in the church that was, I'll go in and say it was a KJV-only group. At a church that had moved to contemporary worship and different.
Oh, boy.
You know,
it's like oil and water right there.
So they started another church. They had lots of money. So they started another church. And they, beautiful facility. I remember because they were one of the first people that actually knocked on my door in this area. And they intentionally targeted me because I knew I was a new president of Lifeway. Not targeted in a negative sense, but came here knowing who I was. I do get targeted.
Other people have done the other part.
And they came in here and they started telling me how they were a KJV-only church. And everything that they told me was negative about the other church. And so I looked at them and said, so you're starting a church that is basically founded upon the negativity that you have from another church.
We're not going to be those guys. That's our founding principles.
Yep. The church died.
Shocker.
And was acquired by another church in the area and with new health. And I don't know if there's, who knows how many of the founding members of that church 15 or 20 years ago are still there. But it started with a power group that didn't like the direction of their current church, and they moved in another direction.
Number five is not surprising. Some church members have actually been part of several church splits.
Of course. Of course.
They're kind of the problem.
They are the problem. They are part of the power group. They're part of the friends and family. And if they don't get their way, this is going to be the highway. A pastor shared with me several months ago that there was a person in his church that bragged about the fact that he had been a part of four church splits.
That's not something to be proud of.
Well,
that's like the guy bragging, well, I've been here 40 years and I've been on seven pastor search committees.
Yes.
Or 12 pastor search committees.
More like 12,
probably. Been running them off, basically.
Yep. And it begs the question, you know, well, if you've been a part of that many church splits, are you part of the reason? Yes, he was. Yes, he was part of the reason. So,
if you're proud of how many church splits you've been a part of, that probably is an indicator.
Yep. So, again, this could go back to the previous one, power groups, because there are a lot of people that have been in these power groups that have moved them on. Again, Jonathan, I don't think we're helping people a lot with this, except bringing things to life.
Yeah, they're probably shaking their heads a lot. Yep.
And at the end of this podcast, someone's going to say, Rainer, how? So what now?
Yeah, I know.
We'll get there. Well, right. Not really. This is more.
Well,
we will continue to maybe bringing it. The light is getting there.
Yes. All right. So number six is one that I've seen this time and time again. Church splits are typically preceded by inactive church members becoming active church members.
Yep. Just for the record, I think inactive church members are an oxymoron.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I have a book coming out in 2020 about this issue mm-hmm. that we'll talk about at some other point.
Well, I'm a church member. I am a church member touched on this as well.
Yes.
But
so what happens is the church members, okay, let's walk through this for a minute. You're a church averaging 150. If you're a typical, let's say, Baptist church, and I know we got a lot of listeners who are otherwise, if you're a church of 150, you probably are a church that has 400 members, something like that. Some, you know,
yeah, 450, 500, yeah, somewhere.
Because you got a lot of inactive members. Why we started the category inactive members, well, I do know some of the reasons, and that's probably a podcast or a blog in itself, how inactive members became a reality in the church. I know Amy J is even noting that as I speak. So we've got this whole idea of these inactive church members. A major issue comes up. We want to relocate, or we want to change the name of the church, or maybe it's not quite as major. We want to go from one worship service to two. Well, the dissenters, see number four, power groups, don't want this to happen. So what do? They say, we don't have the votes unless we call in the inactive members. And they start calling friends and family who haven't attended church in 3 or 4 years, and they start coming back to church, and they particularly start coming back to the business meeting, the infamous business
meeting. The big meeting, yeah.
The big meeting. And you look around, and you say, who are these people? I actually saw a pastor call out someone in a business meeting that was asking questions, and the pastor said, I don't even know who you are. You're only coming to this meeting. Tell me something about yourself. And the person got kind of irritated. I didn't say that's irrelevant. Yeah, right. But the thing about it is, many of these inactive members then become allies because they've left, because they're disaffected, because they've gone another path, whatever reason, and they're just fine to help their friends and family members to take this split to a new level.
All right. Number seven. Church splits are more likely to occur in country club churches. Again, not a surprise.
And again, we need definition.
Yes.
We're not denigrating country clubs.
No.
What we're saying is a country club church is a church where a large number of members have an attitude of entitlement and being served. At a country club, you are served meals. At a country club, you have perks and privileges because you pay. There are a number of churches where that is the reality. Because you're a part of the church, because you're a big name in the community, because you may give to the church, you may even give generously, then you owe me, church, and I need to get my way. And it is sometimes some of these people who have this entitlement mentality, the sense that I'm here in the church, I'm a big giver in the church, or I'm a giver in the church, or my name is such and such, and my great-grandfather founded this church, whatever the case may be. If they don't get their way, they then lead a split. Well, that is a country club church. That is a country club church because the basis of membership is entitlement. Obviously, the way church membership works, the word member was first in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 12, you are a member of the body of Christ, is that you are self-sacrificing. You are giving. You are contributing to the greater good of the church. So there's a clear dichotomy that is taking place here. On this side is the entitled church, which we often call country club churches. Over here are the churches that are truly body of Christ type of churches, 1 Corinthians 12, Obviously, if you're a part of the 1 Corinthians 12 type church where you're a member who is self-sacrificing, giving, and wanting the best for others for the greater good of the body, you're not going to lead a split because you don't have to get your way.
Hmm.
And end of sermon.
Yeah, I know. I was gonna say, like, mic drop right there. And not having to get your way changes the attitude of a lot of people.
Yeah.
Or would change the attitude of a lot of people.
It also works in marriages.
Mm.
It works in families, except I'm talking to not necessarily the kids who think they need to get their way every time.
But, yeah.
But you know the principle. If we think for the greater good of the others, it becomes more unified. If your agenda is about me, myself, and I, you are going to be a divisive person within that body.
Okay. Number 8, some churches still split over doctrinal issues. We kind of touched on this throughout.
And there are times that you need to split over doctrinal issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're going to split over anything, I think this is the thing to split over.
Yep.
And if you're on the right side of the doctrinal issue, because sometimes churches split over
the wrong side of
the wrong side of the doctrinal issues.
Yep. And if it is a doctrinal issue of cardinal importance.
Yes.
I remember back in 2003, 2004, I can't remember exactly when, Al Mohler wrote an article on about mm-hmm. theological triage. Mm-hmm. Really good article.
We'll link to it in the show notes.
He helped us to understand, there's some things that you have to fight over. There's some things that you may consider to be secondary. And then there are tertiary issues. Do you fight over those? Again, this may not apply just to a local church and splits, but the principle is still the same. So when you split over a doctrinal issue, we're thinking that it is a high-level doctrinal issue, primary, maybe even perhaps secondary issue. There are times to split over those. Now, here is where this gets really messy. Some people split over what they call doctrinal issues, but they are not doctrinal issues. They say that those issues are doctrinal, but they are not really doctrinal. They may be worship style.
Yeah.
This is not glorifying God. It's a doctrinal issue.
Carpet color is not a doctrinal issue.
It is not a doctrinal issue. But again, we say in our doctrinal statement that we're going to give glory to God in all we do. And, you know, this carpet color does not give glory to God. So this is
Well, to be fair, mauve does not give glory to God. I mean,
Sam understands that.
He would agree with me on that.
That's why the mauve carpet after 20 years is coming out of the church.
Put new carpet in our church, I just noticed.
Did you?
It's in the hallways. But, yeah. The construction part. So.
Mauve?
No.
Oh, no mauve.
Carpet squares, pattern.
Okay, so some churches split over doctrinal issues, and some churches do need to split over doctrinal issues.
All right, and then finally, some churches split over financial issues.
Common, very common, especially in churches that have congregational vote, which I'm fine with. There's not a negative
statement. What financial issues are we talking about here?
Whether or not we're going to spend money on remodeling a worship center.
Oh, or buying that mauve carpet.
Or whether or not we're going to spend money on another staff member. We've got plenty of people here. Whether or not we're going to take a portion of our budget and give it to a special mission cause.
Buy a new piano, new organ,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Some of these are connected to some of the others. Some of these are just things where people are power groups or whatever, and they just want to get their way. So money becomes a... Art Rayner is my middle son who writes on financial issues. You can go read about him at artrayner.com, just a little plug there. But Art will tell you in his book, The Marriage Challenge, the number one issue of divorces is finances. Well, a large issue, I don't know if it's number one, but a large issue on divorce of church splits, that is, are financial issues. Some churches do split over financial issues. These are 9. We haven't been very practical in giving you solutions, but just maybe the knowledge of these 9 will help you to understand and avoid them in the future.
All right, Van de Bloemen Search Group is the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped thousands of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. Find out more about Van de Bloemen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com if your church splits and you need a pastor.
Oh, I went
terrible, terrible.
We need to ask William how many.
Yeah, you okay
many,
with that? Yeah. And how many he's done on that? I'm sure he's dealt
sure
with that.
He's got.
I'm sure he has.
He's got some stories. Some
stories for days, I'm sure.
A little bit different, Rainer, on leadership, but thank you for listening. I think it's important to bring some of these issues to light, and this is one of those times we did. Thank you, as always, for being a loyal listener.
Now, you know training your volunteers and leaders is important in your church, but do you ever feel like you don't know where to start? That's why Lifeway Leadership developed Ministry Grid. With their library of 3,000 ministry training videos, the work has been done for you and you'll be able to train everyone in your church. It's training you can trust, and each Ministry Grid video features an experienced ministry leader who has been where you are now. You can even get training on Dr. Rainer's book, I Am a Church Member, and create a new members class. You can also customize any training by adding videos, PDFs, YouTube videos, and more. And now Ministry Grid has one plan with one price that gives you unlimited access to train your entire church. Head to ministrygrid.com for more information. Once again, that is ministrygrid.com. Thanks again for joining us here today on Rainer on Leadership, a member of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app, and join us online at tomrainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.